Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Before I forget to mention, I've got a number of links at the top of the transcript and at the article. The transcript, of course, is at sermonaudio.com/study-grow-know. And the written article is at studygrowknowblog.com. Got some links up there that have to do with COVID-19, of course, and you'll want to go through those. But not all of them are related to COVID-19, a number of them. One is about Jesus' resurrection and archaeological analysis. The Pentagon's UFO report kickstarts apostasy? And more evidence that the current Pope, Pope Francis, supports a one-world religion. And Way of Life Literature, has a good article today on The Emerging Church, a Magnet for Rebels. So I'm sure most readers who have been reading my articles and listening to my audios are aware that a major falling away that Jesus, Paul, Peter, and others have referenced in Scripture is underway. It's astounding what has already transpired and what continues. But not only is God not mocked, but his plan moves ahead. Of that we can be sure. As I was reading through toward the end of the book of Job this morning, I finished up Elihu's statements, and he finished in chapter 37. You'll recall that Elihu was the youngest of all of Job's friends. And then I turned to Job 38 to see that God had arrived to a point where he decided to respond to Job. Now, if you haven't read Job 38 and following in a while, you may wish to stop listening to this and read that before continuing. It's up to you. But what fascinates me about God's statements and rhetorical questions to Job is that God did not take the time to answer Job's specific questions. He didn't think it was necessary to provide a reason for why Job suffered. I mean, let's face it, God does not answer to us. He certainly didn't answer to Job. But it is clear that Job was perfectly satisfied with what God said to him. It was abundantly clear that what God said to him completely satisfied Job. Clearly, whoever wrote the book of Job, and there are many suggestions about different authors, but there is no direct evidence of any particular author, but whoever it was given direct revelation regarding the contents of Job chapter 1, weren't they? I mean, Job himself, at least up to this point, chapters 38, 39, 40, in the book, had no clue that any discussion had taken place between God and Satan, nor did Job know that God was the one who directed Satan's attention to Job in the first place. But God at no point shows any sign of offering reasons for why he allowed what he allowed to happen to Job. None. He simply asked Job questions, and many of them were rhetorical, to see if Job could answer them. Now, of course, Job could not even begin to answer them, and at least he was wise enough to admit that in Job chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. Now, I can't imagine what it must have felt like and how overwhelmed Job's emotions were at the hearing of God's voice. Please take a moment to consider that God's very pointed questions forced Job to come to this conclusion in these verses. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. In other words, Job was admitting that it was best if he said absolutely nothing except to clarify his own position before God Almighty. That was that he was vile. Does this not take your breath away? Do you not see yourself doing the same thing if confronted by our holy, righteous, and almighty God? Now, while Job was generally responding to all of what God had just said, he was immediately responding to this statement from God himself. Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. That's Job 40, verse 2. Wow. I can actually sense how shocking it must have been for Job to finally hear God's voice, because his words were filled with rebuke and remonstrance as much as power. Yet unmistakably, I also imagine that Job felt, believe it or not, extremely loved by God, that he had taken the time to respond to Job at all. Job was actually comforted. Here's what God says in verses 4 through 5 of Job 38. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Surely you know. That's God being a bit sarcastic. Can you imagine Job squirming under those statements and questions? I can. Is it any wonder that Job admitted how vile he was, and his only recourse was to place his hand over his mouth so that nothing at all came out of it? Yes, please note that Job never acted like the Israelites, at least at Mount Sinai, who begged Moses to tell God to talk only to him, Moses, because they could not bear to hear God's voice, Exodus 20. Just by hearing God, Job's pride fled from him. He would never forget this encounter as long as he lived. It forever changed Job, and he became more humble than he had been before. From Job 1, we know that he was fairly humble already. Yet, when compared with God, Job knew he was vile, and he had no business demanding anything from God. Throughout the book of Job, things continued to the point where we see how wearied Job must have become for however long the entire situation lasted. And we also see that Job had what Vernon McGee said was Job's eye problem. That's a capital I, not the I that you see with. Job had an eye problem. Now, even though God had declared Job blameless and upright at the beginning of the book, it is clear that Job thought he was being unfairly tested by God. Job feared God and shunned evil, as we learn in Job 1, verse 1 and 8, but he still had that pride that kept him from fearing the Lord more. And that pride, it needed to be excised. And God allowed Satan to attack Job, not because God hated Job, but because he loved Job. The end result of Job's testing would result in a far greater fear of the Lord, from which Job would never recede or stray. Now, I'll be quite frank with you. I don't want to go through anything even close to what Job went through. Do you? Yet God is God, isn't he? We have absolutely no right to demand or argue with him for anything he chooses to do, do we? What if God decides that he will take my wife, the love of my life, from me sooner than I expect, as he did with the prophet's wife in Ezekiel 24? What happens if God, in his infinite wisdom, has already decreed that one or both of my grown adult children will be removed from this life sooner than later, and I will outlive them? What can I say to that? We human beings, we need to understand, and as fully as possible, that we are God's creation. We are not the Creator. Because of our first parents' rebellion against God, sin entered the world. Sin changed God's creation and made things the way they are today. Now, God's going to totally rectify it one day, but until then, we live with the results of our corporate and individual sin. For now, man's rebellious nature has created havoc throughout the world, and people like to ask questions like this: why does God allow evil to exist? Or why didn't God stop that evil thing from happening? You know, we ask these questions out of pride. We actually believe we know better than God. And if we were God, well, we'd have done things differently, that's for sure. This is unadulterated hubris that pervades each person and all of society. Is it any wonder that God hates pride because it only destroys? It has no capacity to build up. Because we brought sin into the world, we need to look at ourselves in the mirror when we start asking why God allows evil to exist. One day, as the Bible eloquently reveals, evil will be fully gone. Read chapters 20 through 22 of Revelation. But for now, it remains, and God uses it like He uses everything for His purposes and His glory. It's about Him, not us. The Creator, not the created. People are fallen, without love, filled with pride and arrogance, rebellious, sinful beings. We think we know everything. God says to us, "Tell me if you can. Surely you know." Sadly, there are some who actually think that they would tell God what they think and what He's doing wrong. They're fools who do not understand that they will bow the knee and confess that Jesus is Lord. Romans 14:11, Philippians 2:10 through 11. You know, the fear of the Lord creates within us an ability to understand that God is far greater than we can ever imagine. Along with this growing awareness is the willingness to accept and undergo whatever God sends our way. Understanding that this too, even if unpleasant, is for our growth and His glory. Now, Job had his faults, didn't he? He was not a perfect man. Though he feared God, he had a great deal of growing to do. Do we believe we have arrived, that we cannot really grow too much more? How do you see yourself? How do I see myself? Am I willing to submit to whatever God sends my way? Am I willing to not question Him? Am I willing to praise Him in all situations and circumstances, even the unpalatable ones? Am I willing to allow God to be the true and only Lord of my life? Well, if I am, then I am actually on my way to growing in the fear of the Lord. Now, this does not mean that everything will be smooth sailing, does it? It wasn't for Joseph, for Daniel, for Moses, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and many others who chose and choose today to follow the Lord. It simply means that in and through all situations that God sends or allows, He will uphold us with His righteous right hand. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. I cannot imagine the depths of despair that Joseph, Job, and many other saints have endured because of their faith in God. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job 13:5. In all honesty, I'm not sure I can say that yet. However, I would like to be able to say it and mean it. How about you? Thank you so much for joining me today. And I pray that until we meet again, God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.